seated, let me, before I read the scripture this morning, let me recognize the presence of the past pastor of this church, John Dodd. And John, we welcome you and your wife. We especially welcome her and you too. But we're so glad to have you here. Before I read the scripture, let me explain that for the Jewish people, there was a songbook within the songbook. It begins in Psalm 120 and goes through Psalm 134. They memorized these songs and sang them on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the great feast. Jesus was going up to the temple, presumably to take part in the bar mitzvah program, so he would have sung this song that I'm reading in a few minutes. And all the people from Babylon and Persia and other places would travel to Jerusalem once a year to celebrate the great feast of the Passover. And they would sing these songs on the way. And I can almost hear this boy soprano, or maybe tenor by this time, singing this song, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read Psalm 125. This is one of those songs in the songbook. And we read these words: those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to do iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. For such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. And so may the Lord bless this song within the songbook and teach us the meaning of it and the experience of it. Let's bow in just a moment of prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you that you give us the assurance of your word. And we thank you that you warn us about going astray. We pray, Father, that this morning as we consider this song, that you will teach it to us in our hearts so that we can sing, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion forever. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you realize that the security is as basic to human nature, and the desire for security is as important to us as food itself? Or we could not live without food, nor can we live without the security of being believers. So much of the movement of history is mankind's search for security and safety. Someone has called this the age of anxiety, but I'm convinced that all ages are ages of anxiety since the fall of man in Garden of Eden. People look for security in so many places: economics, education, psychology, politics, science, medicine, the military, to mention but a few. Yes, even believers, you and I, look for safety and security in all the wrong places. Ultimately, our only security is found in the Lord, and the truth about him as he has revealed it in his word. The Psalm of Ascent, Psalm 125, is about the security of believers and the firm foundation upon which that security rests. The words are reminiscent of Psalm 121, which is among the first of these songs within the songbook. And Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And in this psalm, the position of the believers is compared to Jerusalem. They are looking up from the Jordan Valley, and they see Jerusalem surrounded by rugged hills and mountains. And they had trusted in their location, their geography, more than the Lord. In this psalm, the portion of believers is compared to Jerusalem, safely nestled among the surrounding hills, protected by God's geography from foes and danger. As the traveling pilgrims near Jerusalem after a long and dangerous journey, and some of them came from the former Assyria, and some of them came from Babylon, and some of them came from North Africa, and they all sang this song as they traveled. And as they drew near to Jerusalem after a long and dangerous journey, they looked up from the Jordan Valley and saw the security of Jerusalem, surrounded by mountains and hills, and therefore apparently safe from attack. Of course, this didn't prove to be the case in the end, because they had failed to keep the covenant that God had made with them. And so those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Actually, the spiritual Mount Zion is the presence of God. And these words that God gives us from the song of long ago. And security does not rest in Jerusalem. Even security does not rest in South Carolina or United States of America. There is a sense in which security is not a static state. It's an ever-growing experience, and by many hard lessons. The sense of security may ebb and flow with the circumstances of life. We seek security in our work, our families, and certainly our confident plans for the future. But as you know, and as many of us have had catastrophe in our lives, that we dare not look at these things for our ultimate security. Calvin's great hymns that he wrote, one of these, our hope is in none other save in thee. Our faith is built upon thy promise free. Oh, grant to us such stronger hope and sure that we may boldly conquer and endure. So the truth that God teaches in his word about himself, his character, his attributes, and his promises are the foundation of our trust in the Lord. In the words of this psalm, we find five things that we need to know about God that gives us a growing sense of security. Well, one reason that those who trust in the Lord are assured that they cannot be moved, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The words of the Shorter Catechism come to mind. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. So he is always the same. You can depend on him. He doesn't change with the circumstances. He remains the same God who ordained all that comes to pass and loves to answer the prayers of his children. The one true absolute of life that we look to is the, not only can God not change, but how frail we would be if we depended on a God who could change and who does change. Well, God's love is steadfast and sure. In the words, the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth, we hear the assurance that the covenant cannot be broken. We love him because he first loved us, and he is ever active. If you have had your children baptized, even in this sanctuary or the old sanctuary, you can rest assured that God is faithful to the covenant. And as you dedicated your children to the Lord, so you did so with confidence that God would motivate them and keep them in his covenant. Another truth that God reveals about himself is that he is a righteous God. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. What is God saying by these words? God's restraining hand rests on the wickedness of this world. Even as God has set boundaries for the ocean, he has set boundaries for wickedness. And take heart. But God, take note of our wickedness and is willing to forgive us. What is God saying? He's saying that his restraining hand rests on the wickedness of this world. And so he has set boundaries. Even as he set boundaries in the sea, can no longer threaten the land. He sets boundaries for the wickedness of this world. And even now, the Lord will not forever allow the wicked to control this fallen world, because he has promised to redeem it. He's promised to come back and create the new Eden that will last forever. And another thing that we need to know about God is he is good, and he manifests his goodness toward us in so many ways. He is patient, kind, forgiving, compassionate, and some of my favorite verses in the Bible are found in Psalm 103, and this is in harmony with this Psalm 125. And we read in Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And just how far is the east from the west? Well, it's infinite, because you start out in the east and you walk around the world if you're able, and if no one shoots you on the way. But we never arrive at the west unless we start there. But God's grace is infinite and eternal. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. The Lord pities his children. So the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're nothing but dust. That is what his goodness is all about. Then there are the words of Jesus when he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Luke adds to that that God is happy. God delights in his children and in his gifts to them. And oh, how good God's gifts to us are. God is just. And because he is, there is moral order in this world. God ordains and establishes government and laws to enable us to live in peace and safety. But as we have seen in our own country, when people begin to deny God and turn their backs on his law and precepts, the less safety and the less order will prevail. And we see this in our generation, unfortunately, that there is a call, and it's widespread, to defund all the police departments so that everybody can do what they want to do and they will not be hindered. And so the less safety and the less order will prevail. And the chaos and corruption will threaten us. Martin Luther was assailed by Satan, well nigh overcome by his evil thoughts and doubt about his own salvation. And he cried out, leave me alone, devil! I'm a baptized man. Martin Luther's security was in Christ alone and the knowledge that he belonged to the true church, a church of the Savior. Martin Luther was a good theologian. He knew that Christ and his body, the true church, were inseparable. But wait a moment. This psalm does not teach that people of God will always be protected from evil influences and people in a fallen world. We know by bitter experience that evil is present and powerful, not only in the world around us, but in the world inside of us. So easily we're led astray, and so easily we give up our faith and trust in God. In fact, the secular world may have a much stronger grip on your life than you are free to express. But I talked to a man just this week, and he had come back to the Lord, but he had wandered far and had committed sins that he was ashamed of. But he said, I don't know what got into me, but I gave in to the inner evil that was in my being. And so I have suffered so much. But I've come back to him, and he has accepted me. We must be on our guard lest we be corrupted by the very powers that we profess to abhor. Greed, malice, pride, selfishness, and general worldliness so easily overtake us. And the psalmist prays, lest the righteous reach out their hands to do iniquity. Christians don't have to capitulate to the forces of evil. But so often we do. And the small things, we think they're small, and then we find ourselves overcome by evil itself. And so it would be so easy for Christians to throw up their hands, and the evil surrounding us seems irresistible. And we could say, it's hopeless. How could I possibly make a difference? Well, you can make a difference. Let me tell you about a note I got several years ago. It was from the godliest person I have ever known in my life. And the commendation was that you have saved my life from destruction. I think that was an exaggeration, but I appreciated the thought of it, that I had had a share in turning that person away from evil. When I say it's quite possible the United States would not have been born, I refer back to the influence of John Calvin on Western civilization, and he taught that man must choose his own leaders under God. And who knows that someday, some way may say of you, if it had not been for you and for your influence in my life, I would have been long ago fallen into ruin. Of course, your victories may be smaller, but equally important. One of the that note I referred to came from absolutely the godliest person I have ever known. And so I think that was an exaggeration, but it was sincerely meant. And in that one sentence alone, my life was worth living. And if you can influence people for God and for His Word, so you may one day be told that if it hadn't been for you, my life would have been ruined. So once again, we can sing of God's keeping power. The promises kept give us grace to strength to accept the burden of bearing the light. And so if you're determined to remain faithful and true to the Lord, then He will step in and cause the circumstances of life to bear you up. And we can sing and say, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever and ever and ever. I would like to, the elders to come forward and pray that God will take this message and use it to be the foundation of our church.